to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time. It's my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro Podcast booth crews number one and two, stove crews numero uno and dos, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves, starting with Sandy.
Sandy Smith, Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
Fred Krause, Lewisburg, Pennsylvania.
Stuart Nice, Campbell, California.
Dean Higa, Santa Clara, California.
Garland Peabody, San Jose, California.
Lady and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast booth. It's been about a year since we've gathered around this table. Stuart was here last week. It's so good to see returning veterans, experienced veterans. You all look like been here, done that.
And still learning veterans.
I love it. Fred, what did you learn this week so far?
Oh, I'd say I've had a very awesome week. The first year you come, you're very excited, and it's all a new experience and a learning curve, like getting to realize the toilet paper doesn't go in the toilet, right? We train ourselves to that. The interactions with the people and seeing God in their face and the good that we do for them and so much more that they give to us, it doesn't get old. Not at all. It's wonderful. Mm. What I've also learned this week is the crew that's here from California are awesome people.
Aren't they, though?
They are. I'm having such a great time with everybody from California.
You are incredible people. I'm so envious, especially of you and Sandy, because you get to hang out with one of my most favorite people on the planet, and that is Pastor Stuart Nice.
Pastor?
Stuart. Seriously, though, I mean, there are a few people that I would rather spend time from learning and growing and walking with in the Lord. What have you learned from him this week?
From Stuart?
Mm-hmm.
He's helping me to perfect my hulls. he's really good at that. I think he's great at leading and... As a pastor, and I wanted to joke about that and say that I shouldn't have told him the dirty jokes I did. I didn't know he was a pastor, but I did know. He's great at leading, but he's very down to earth. And from my experience, all right, and I've been around quite a while, he's an awesome pastor. He really is. He's an awesome human being.
Thanks, guys.
And from what I've seen of his daughter that's here also, she follows right in her father's footsteps. They're both anything for anybody, and they're very helpful. So you should be very proud of that.
It's true. Very, very true. As the other people in this room know, because you get an opportunity to walk with Stuart every week. And we're so thankful. And Stuart's very uncomfortable with this conversation, so we will change the subject.
Modesty.
Yes. Well, that's it. You know, his sincerity and servant-heartedness is why we're all here. And so, Sandy, what's different this year from last? Last year was your first year. You were very wide-eyed, and everything was new and fresh and different and a little overwhelming at times, as I remember. This year, it's a different experience, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think the people are a little bit different mm-hmm. than in Santa Maria de Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just as loving. I mean, and their faith is so strong. In fact, talking about pastors, we put in a stove for one of the pastors.
Really?
Oh, he was an awesome guy.
Hmm.
He was taking care of their mother and father. But... He was awesome, just like Stuart is. Stuart is he's very relaxed. Nothing bothers him. If something goes wrong, so what? What? It'll work. No problem. And I mean, he's just down to earth. And like Fred said, his daughter follows in his footsteps. And Jendy, she's another one. She's very down to earth. She's very fun and I enjoyed working with Stuart, and I love the people, and they bring tears to your eyes all the time. They're just so loving, and I would just love to take some of the babies home or the little ones. Oh, my God, they're so loving, and they're so cute, and they're always smiling, and it seems as though nothing at all bothers them. Not like us. They go everything's very slow. We're always in a hurry to do sometimes nothing. But they are. They're wonderful people, and I'd love to come back again next year.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. You told me yesterday, you both shared with me, that Fred and Sandy, that there was one particular home that you visited. You said it was some of the kindest people you've ever met, and I think Stuart echoed that.
Oh, they were.
Why were they so kind? What made you feel that way?
I mean, they came over, they hugged us. The little kids did. The little girl sat on my lap, you know, all after we were finished everything. You know, she was just so loving. The mother was so loving. The grandmother was so loving. The grandmother made tortillas, real fresh tortillas. They were really hot. She put out the salt. She put out fresh bananas, apples. I mean, and the tears rolled down her cheeks, and the tears rolled down my cheeks, of course. But they were so loving, and they were so appreciative. And it's like, please come back next year. I would love to come back next year.
Stuart, do you remember this family that we're talking about?
Of course. Fresh tortillas.
The little girl said in my lap, because I said, oh, these are hot. She goes, caliente. Yeah. And this was just a little girl, you know, three, four, at the most?
I would say they really treated us like true brothers
they
and
did.
Sisters. Mm-hmm. They just welcomed us like we were the neighbor next door mm-hmm. or part of their family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was wonderful.
Yeah. It's really, yeah, just such great families this year. I've been mm-hmm. impressed. And it, to me, it's been different in that there's no, I don't know, there's no, sometimes we feel the Americans, not that we try to put we're not trying to put ourselves above, but they're humbled that we're with them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, there was more of a unity that we're just all here together. And, you know, I don't know. I just got a sense that we're all in this together, them and us. And it wasn't like we're helping you. Obviously, they're saying thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, you know, thanks, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, well, we're glad to be brothers and sisters. We're just so we sense that a lot with a lot of our people this year.
There was that one family with a lady said, you'll come back next year. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Remember? When she was very strongly that she'd like us back next year. I, to me, just body motions and just not even knowing the language, but it was like, we need you back next year. This is wonderful. There's so many people you can help. We want you back here next year. That's really what she was saying, I felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she really was. That's neat. Really neat.
Dean, this is your first year doing stoves.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And your first year in this site, obviously, is the first time for all of us. What were some of your impressions? I mean, you've been to Guatemala many times. You've worked on different crews and that. What were some of your impressions with how the families react to getting a new stove in their home and this team coming into the heart of their home, the kitchen, and installing this? What were some of your impressions? What are some memories that have stood out the past couple days?
Well, first of all, it is a little different than it's been in the past because we've seemed to have had more interaction with the families that we're serving. For me, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is very emotional for me to hear them tell us how grateful they are and that they understand the sacrifice we make, and it's really humbling. I mean, I just shake my head and just think I'm almost embarrassed that they would say that to us because I feel like what we're giving them is such a tiny part of what we have, but to them it's so much. And I told some of the families that, you know, we're the ones that are blessed, and that where we come from, there's so many people that have so much in material wealth, but spiritually they're bankrupt. And I just wanted to convey that, you know, that they have something that many of us are seeking, and that is, you know, unshakable faith in the Lord and extreme appreciation for just the simple things in life that we forget about 50 weeks out of the year until we come here. So it's been a real, real enlightening experience and just a real heartwarming experience for me. And it's, again, it's just, to me, it's what life is about. It's not about all the stuff, but it's about serving with your brothers and sisters, even though you live miles apart.
Wow, well said. Yes. Amen. Do you have a particular family or home or child that you will take back with you in your memory from this past week?
Several. Today there was one woman that, I think it was today, but she was in tears telling us that they don't have much and how grateful she was that we came. And it just meant so much to her. And again, they thank us for the sacrifice we make. And but there were several families that made that impression on me as well. Today, when we were leaving, the two little girls just out of the blue kind of ran up to me and gave me a kiss. So I was like kind of blown away by that. But I'm going to remember to pray for all of these families throughout the year.
Garland, you were shaking your head, yes. You have some memories?
Oh, absolutely. I have a lot of, we were on the same crew, so a lot of the same memories. The thing that was phenomenal for me is family. You know, I see such an attachment. I mean, from grandmothers to mothers to daughters to grandchildren. I just love the fact that, you know, they're all in this together. You know, it's a family thing. It's not like they separate themselves out, you know. I really love the children. The children were just absolutely phenomenal. I had one of my best times with one of the little boys. He was being held by his brother while we were putting in a stove, and I kept looking at him, and he kept turning away, and I actually took a photo of him and showed it to him, and he just started to smile and laugh at the photo. And by the time we were done, I kept making eye contact with him as we were doing different parts of the stove, and he kept looking at me, and when we were getting ready to leave after we were all done, he just outstretched both of his arms completely and looked me straight in the eye, and I walked up and I gave him this big hug. I found out later he wanted me to pick him up and take him. But Annalisa, who's not here, she picked him up and she's carrying him off, and we're walking down to the gate, which is, you know, probably a good, you know, 10, 15 yards away from where the house was. And the whole time we're saying adios, you know, and as we're saying adios, he's looking back and he's waving goodbye. So it was just wonderful. I mean, their faces, I agree with Dean. We had two families today. One of them was a grandmother that was just in tears with happiness over what we had done for them. And one was the other woman on the stove that we had done. And, you know, she was just in tears. She's just, you know, to her, it was just amazing that we would come there to help them. But I agree with Dean. It's helped me phenomenally. I mean, I'm ready to come back. This is my second year here, and I'm, you know, Stuart was asking, you know, we were talking about trying to establish when we want to make the decision as to where, when we're coming back. And Nancy and I made our decision last July. We were here in June. We made our decision last July. We're coming back. So, and so I don't think it's a question of, you know, when or if, but it's just, you can't be blessed anymore with some people that just absolutely love you. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
I remember having several conversations with you over the years and you saying, you really want to come, you really want to come. No, I really want to come. We hear that a lot at my events. And I wasn't sure because I, you know, most people who say that to us, I realize fairly quickly that they're not going to come. They think they are, but they're really not. And I don't really know how to tell them that and be kind about it, you know, which is another reason why we've kept the name. Now is the time. Mm-hmm. There's never a good time. They're like, you know, when my kids graduate or when my kids are older or when, you know, we're empty nesters. I mean, there's always a time that they think they're going to come. But you looked very convinced that you were coming at some point. I thought, well, I don't know which list he's going on, you know, the actually going to come list. And you did come last year, and you were really excited that you guys had made the choice and you had committed to it and that you came. And I remember you telling me fairly early on that, you know, you wanted to come back. And I always ask people about their experience here, but I rarely have an opportunity to ask about the year leading up to here. What were some of your thoughts? What were some of your feelings? I mean, you guys said, okay, we're going, but then life comes and there's lots of opportunities and distractions. And tell me about that journey coming back here.
Well, it was a journey. We, you know, we're not necessarily struggling financially, but we have our, you know, ends are met. So we always, you know, wonder, you know, we fundraised, you know, to help, you know, raise funds for the trip, you know, and I know there's other families that are more than just the two of us that are fundraising as well. And, but we never throughout the entire year once said, we're not coming back. I mean, we always were on the same page, my wife and I, Nancy, that we were coming back. And whenever anything was mentioned about Guatemala, we just had a smile on our face because we knew we were coming back. There was never a thought that we weren't coming back at all. So it was, the whole year was that way. My wife has to take her vacation time. She has to put in for it a year in advance. Every January, she has to put in her vacation time for the whole year because it's vacation is based upon seniority at the hospital. And we didn't have any idea when this week was coming. And
nor did we.
Yeah. And so we just figured, well, it was, you know, this week in June last year. It's going to be probably this week in June this year. And so she put in for the vacation time, and sure enough, it just fell right into place, and we were still on our way. So, you know, God worked through the whole thing as well. It was amazing.
Dean, you brought your whole family again. What was your journey like getting back to this table?
It isn't only that it's not the right time, it's always the wrong time.
So well put.
And I tell you the truth, the month, and this happens to me all the time, but the month before we're going, my attitude is I take it or leave it, you know. And then when I get here, I always remember why I do it. But yeah, bringing my whole family, it's really a blessing to have for us all to be able to come. And we're real fortunate because under Stu's leadership, we have a body of believers that will really step to the plate, and the ones that don't come will support us financially. What I really see is that bringing my kids and my wife too, I really see the best of them come out when they're here. I mean, it's just, they shine far and above any other times that they're living the rest of their life at home. And so that's, you know, I get to really see a lot about them when I come here. And it's just, obviously, as a parent and a husband, I'm overjoyed by that.
As you should be. You got great kids. Mm-hmm. You really do. As does the gentleman sitting next to you. Stuart, you there isn't any family that has committed more, as in my eyes, sacrificed more to be here than you. This year it's four of you for 2 weeks. In the past it's been five of you for 2 weeks, for 5 weeks. Huge, huge commitment, investment, time, resources. All of your kids are older now. Mm-hmm. The youngest has just graduated from high school, and they're still coming, and you're still coming. Tell us, how does that work in your life? How can you possibly make that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of with Dean. I'm kind of with Garland and Dean, and it's just like you start with your commitment early, because if you wait until March, which a lot of people, that's when they're trying to make the decision, but then it's like, I can't do this. So we start now and say, are we coming back? Of course. And then, okay, now that that's done, then everything will fall, you know, falls into line, not becomes easy. And we just love, you know, this is the highlight of our year, is to be here with the people and just sharing life together. And then also with the people that are here serving. I always say that coming to Guatemala for a week is like being together at church for a year or maybe two, because, you know, at church you're like, hey, well, yeah. But we're able to sit down, have coffee, work together, you know, get all the conversations in that it would take maybe years with groups of people, with individuals. And to us, that's priceless. So it strengthens the church family a lot. And, of course, we're creating memories that we're all going to have forever. And so, to me, it's more valuable than anything else we could ever do. And then with our kids, too. I mean, Christina will have her 11th birthday here in Guatemala. On Saturday, she'll be 18. She celebrated her 7th birthday here, so it's pretty neat to see all those years marked here in Guatemala. So that's cool. Cool for us.
Fred, you told me, I believe last year about this time, we're coming back, and we're going to bring a bunch of people with us. And you ran into the same struggle that Stuart has run into and I have run into and so many people before you who have tried to recruit, and people said, yeah, I'm coming. Yeah, I'm coming. And in the end, you and Sandy ended up coming by yourselves again. What would you say to those who may be listening, who may think that, oh, no, I'm going to come someday. I'm going to come someday. After your experience this past year, how would you respond to them?
I could give a simple answer and say, listen to the podcast, look at the pictures. I think that decision really comes down to your priorities and where God fits in your life, and wanting to help your brothers and sisters that really need your help in another country. And I think that's what most of it really comes down to. The people I've talked to, there's a number of people that couldn't get off on fairly short notice.
Right.
And they're saying they'll go next year, but they need to plan earlier.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take them up on that. What I was able to do is, in the church I'm in, which is the same as Bill Petrie, I've been able to move this into a committee. Our social ministries committee was willing to take it on, meaning I'll head it up, but they'll sponsor it. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing. So I have a whole committee behind this for next year.
Nice.
Yeah. And we have about 10 people we know that have said it, so I need to tweak them. Mm-hmm. What I have run into, and I'm sure we all have, is people, and I think it's sad, but we all know this is life. You say, if you really ought to go, and this is why you should go. And I said, well, I really can't take the time off because I'm going to Belgium for a month in September. Mm-hmm. So it's like, then that's your priority. And that's what a lot of it comes down to. I'm very enthusiastic about having a lot more people who just need to get it going earlier so they can get their time off from work. This year, even with just that, what we did is I focused on two things that I thought from last year to me seemed to be really the big needs. They need shoes as a priority. The kids need vitamins. So I got the whole church behind that. And we brought almost 13,000 vitamins.
Yeah, which is awesome. Which will be distributed through Corazón de los Niños throughout the year. Right. And they have a process for everything, as you saw, in this organizational chart. And obviously the shoes we're giving out this week. Yeah. I think we're almost out of shoes. Tomorrow's the last day. So we've a lot of kids. Thank you to Christ the Shepherd, right?
Christ Lutheran.
So many. Christ Shepherd's First Trinity. Sorry. Christ Lutheran Church.
The interesting, I'll tell you, I'll do it real quick. The interesting part of that was when I said, look, I want to get the whole parish behind this, right? The whole congregation. And the pastor said, well, it's like it's the only way he could fit it in is he said I had to do part of the sermon. Now, I've never given a sermon in my life.
Really? That's surprising to me.
So what he did, said, well, I'm just going to prep it and I'm going to turn it over to you and then you just take it and run with it. And I she knows I was up the whole night before and I did so much prepping for this. I'm used to speaking to people, but it's in the business world.
Yeah.
I feel very inferior in the world of really religion of being able to, I'm not the authority. I feel so, inadequate, I guess is the right way. But that's what he wanted me to do. So I said, well, the Lord's going to be on my side. We have, as many churches do, a lot of different fundraisers. I collected more donations and more contributions for vitamins, right, in 6 weeks than anybody else in the church for any other. I was like, but I told them, I actually took one of the roof, the cutouts, right?
Yeah, the holes that you cut out of the.
Yes. The holes for the flue pipe.
For the roof, which is black charcoal on one side and kind of rusted.
I held that up. And I basically gave them the sermon of the last judgment, the final judgment, right, which has to do with taking care of your brothers and sisters. Awesome. And I got a tremendous amount of support from the parish, or from the congregation.
Yeah. So, praise God.
Yeah. And by the way, he spoke very well. He had to do it for the both services. Mm-hmm.
And then I went home and crashed.
Most pastors do on Sunday.
Stuart's on his head through the whole thing. Like, But I would challenge you in one respect that you are an authority. You are a missionary. And the first time someone called me a missionary, I froze. I became a white sheet. I'm like, but I couldn't say I wasn't, because I actually had been on a mission, and that's the definition of a missionary, a person who goes on a mission. And so you have an authority that is based in experience. You are the authority on going on missions because you've been twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've stepped way out of my comfort zone with some of this, but I've put it in God's hands. And Sandy knows. She knew I was a nervous wreck doing it, but he's going to see me through it. I'm not going to dribble over my words. You know, I'm not going to stutter. He'll get me through it. And he did. And it was fine.
Praise God.
Yeah, and that's the only, that was my rock to get me through it. But that's,
Well, I wanted to thank you for your commitment, like for your perseverance to get through that, because it's tough. I think we've probably all been there. We've all invited people. We've all talked it up. And it's just disheartening. And there's a lot of times there's very legitimate reasons, but you were kind of counting on that yes and the help, and you know what the help can be in this end, and you know how it can affect their lives, maybe forever, the people who are coming. And it's hard, but you guys pressed on and you pivoted and used that opportunity for collecting. And we're just really thrilled that you're here. We're thrilled that all of you are here, that you came back. It impresses me when people come the first time. It really impresses me when people, because a lot of people say, oh, we're coming back next year. Oh, we're coming back next year. And the ones that actually do, I know that challenge, because we struggle with it ourselves. How is this possibly going to happen again next year? And it's through faith and faith alone. And so on behalf of Dom Reese and myself, thank you for your faith. Thank you for fulfilling your commitment, your promise to God and his children to come and serve with all your heart, mind, and soul as you've done. And we just cannot be more humbled and honored and proud to serve alongside with you. And thanks for sharing your stories on the podcast.
And likewise.
Likewise, yes.
For sure.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga. May God bless you. Vaya con Dios. Go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.